I would like to talk about a particular issue that also has currency and which is reflected in the beginning of this parasha and the end of the parasha of Shoftim. You know that the end of the parasha of Shoftim, the beginning of the parasha of Ki Teitse, are about certain aspects of war, what might be called the morality of war. How are you supposed to act? How are you supposed to deploy yourself? So the first pasuk in our parasha, here in Ki Teitse, which I'm looking at, Ki Teitse l'milchama l'oyvecha natano Hashem Elokecha b'yadecha v'shavita shivyo. That's the first pasuk of our parasha, of the parasha of Ki Teitse. Rashi says, Ki Teitse l'milchama b'milchemet ha'reshut b'kedu b'daber. Milchemet reshut. Because reshut means a milchama, in order to expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. You know, there are, in the Torah, there are different boundaries to Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua ben Nun, his Eretz Yisrael is mostly from the Jordan and west. Even though it's true that Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, for them, Eretz Yisrael was already the land of Sichon and Og, which is on the eastern side of on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And besides that, there are gvulot, the haftacha, that go up to the Tigris, the Euphrates, you know, including what we call today Iraq. All of that is also part of Eretz Yisrael, in a manner of speaking. So that means that if the Melachim in Eretz Yisrael decided to expand the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is that they can't do that until they conquer Eretz Yisrael west of the Jordan. But it could be that they would decide to go and fight east, right? The Golan Heights, Syria, Iraq, right? That's David HaMelech did, right? And the Gemara calls that Kibush Yachid, gave it a name, the conquest of the Golan by David HaMelech, is called Kibush Yachid. Kibush Yachid means that it did not have the approval, this kibush, this conquest, did not have the approval of the Sanhedrin. Usually the king is supposed to kind of consult with the Sanhedrin to find out whether the time is the proper time, but David HaMelech didn't do that, and that's why his conquest, it's called Kibush Yachid, and not a Kibush Tzibur. The Sanhedrin represents the entire nation of Israel. So in any event, let's look at the Rashi again. Rashi says, Mechemet HaRishut HaKetuv V'daber. Right, we're talking about an optional battle, a battle to expand the boundaries, a battle that you didn't have to wage. And then Rashi goes on and says, Mechemet Eretz Yisrael, he says the end of the pasuk, right? The end of the pasuk has these words, "Veshavita shivyo," which means you will trap those who are going to be trapped, right? Shavita shivyo. So Rashi says, "Shavuchemet Eretz Yisrael ain't lomav veshavita shivyo." When you go, Yoshua ben Nun is going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. You don't take any captives. You have to kill everybody. Sharei kvar ne'emar, lo techayeh kol neshama. Lo techayeh kol neshama means that no one should live. No one's going to get through this battle. Which battle? The battle of Eretz Yisrael proper. It means to the west of the Jordan River. That's what Rashi says. So that this pasuk must be talking about Milchemet Rishut. It must be. Because only in a Milchemet Rishut could you have B'Shavita Shivyo. The next pasuk says, oh, B'Shavita Shivyo, Rashi. See, Rashi is another Rashi, the Rabot Kena'anim, Shebetocha, Vavo Pishehem, Mishiva Umot. So Rashi makes an interesting point. He says, what happens if the Canaanites, right, the Shiva Amemin, run away and they live in outside of Eretz Yisrael? So they could also be saved. You don't have to kill them. right? Lerabot kedanim shebetocha, va'afal pishehei mishiva umot. And so, what is it that the pasukim are going to talk about? Reita b'shivya, yishivat Torah, v'chashak laba, v'lechat lechala isha. So the pasuk says, you could have a dilemma. A soldier out in the middle of nowhere, and there's no hope that he's going to be home in the near future. He could decide that he wants that he's in love with a woman, but the Torah says what the Torah does here is put limitations on him. You can't do whatever you want. You can't act in any way that you want. Pasuk Yud Bet Toch Beitecha Yosha. Whatever the reasons of this whole process of the Eishet Yifat Torah is, what it means to me is that the soldier is restricted. He can't do whatever he wants. He can't act in a way that could be called barbaric. He can't go and cut off a head like somebody did in Iraq. You can't do that. You have to live according to rules that are set up, and that's what we call morality. So that in the war, which Rashi says is a war of Rishut, there are rules. And some of the rules have to do with Eishet Yifat Torah. And you can't act in a non-acceptable manner when you're a soldier. Okay, that's what these psukim say, and that's the topic. Now if we look back in the next source, which is from Dvarim Perikav. Dvarim Perikav. It says the following: Ki tikrav al ir lilachem aleha, v'karata eleha l'shalom. This is generally talking about war. Ki tikrav al ir v'karata eleha l'shalom. Rashi says again. Rashi says the Chavdei Rishut that kadu b'daber k'moshu for Rashi be'inyan. He says we must be talking about Chemet Rishut, because a Milchemet Mitzvah, what's a Milchemet Mitzvah? Either the Mitzvah of Kibush Eretz Yisrael, or if you're attacked and you're in danger, that's also called a Milchemet Mitzvah. Milchemet Rishut, Rashi says, is where you say Karata Eilel Shalom. What if it's a Milchemet Mitzvah? You just go in and fight. Right? What do you mean? You're not going to call out and say, let's make peace. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayan Shalom Tancha, Upatcha Lecha, Vahaya Kol Ha'am Nimtza Ba Yulcha L'masva Vaducha. So that's the, if they accept your entreaties, and they are willing to make peace, so then they become slaves. They become taxed and slaves in the new world that the war is building. So Rashi says, Kol Alman in Tzaba, Afilu Ata Motzeba Mishivat Umot Shenitzavit Elafrimein Atarashai Lekaimam. So again Rashi says, even if you find in this war, in this city, which is the Chemet Rishut, you find Canaanites, the Shiva Amamin, you can let them live. You don't have to put them, you don't have to destroy them. Lamas Vavaducha, Achikablu Alehem, Misim Vishiyabud, that they have to accept a lower status. I mean, these people that you conquered or that you captured out in the middle of nowhere, they have to accept a lower status. Now, Pasuk Yud Bet. V'im lo tashlim imach, v'asta imach milchama, v'tzarta aleha. Right? That they don't agree to peace. Then you have to go to war against them, and you have to lay siege to them. Right? V'im lo tashlim rashi imcha, v'asta imcha milchama, akatuv bevasercha. So this is like an interesting point that Rashi makes. He says, you know, sometimes you know what the end game is. So if you say, let's make peace, and if they say, well, no, we're not, we don't want to make peace. I mean, we're not bothering you, don't bother us. If you leave, if you take your army away, and then you just won't be able, you won't be able to depend on the future. At the end, they will come and try to get you. Vitzarta aleha, right? This is in Pasuk Yud Bet. Vitzarta aleha. You lay siege to it. Ilahar iva laksmi'a ulahamita mitat tafluim. Right? You lay siege to it. There's no, we won't let them have water. You don't let them have food. And they will die in great suffering. Right? From great suffering. Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Nitana, Hashem Elokecha B'yadcha V'ikita Kol Zichura Lefi Charev. Rak Hanashim V'Ataf V'Veima V'Kol Asher Yetzair Ba'ir Kol Shlala Tavoz Licha V'Chalt Et Shlal Oivecha Asher Natan Hashem Elokecha Lacha. Okay, so then you have to go to war. So according to Rashi, in both cases, what happens in Eretz Yisrael? What happens when Yoshua ben Nun comes to Eretz Yisrael to fight against the seven nations and to drive them out? Does he send them a message that says, peace, let's make peace, according to Rashi? Certainly not. Is anybody allowed to live? Certainly not. In Eretz Yisrael, even though Rashi doesn't talk about Eretz Yisrael, but by implication, he talks about a place that's far away. But by implication, we know that in Eretz Yisrael, the battles are all ultimate. They are there, they're driven out, there's nobody who gains, has any peaceful solution for the people in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is not the case for other Rishonim. If you look first at the Rambam, if you turn the page, you see the last source of the sheet. The last source of the sheet is the Rambam. The Rambam says this. I mean, everything good the Rambam says has come. It has sources, but we're not interested in the sources. The Rambam says, Shlosha ketavim shalach Yoshua ad shelo nichnas la'aretz. Right, there were three letters that Yoshua ben Nun sent to the people who live in what we call today Eretz Yisrael. Right, the western side of the Jordan River. Harishon shalach lahem mishem motzel ivroach yivrach. Whoever wants to run away and doesn't want to fight against us, let him run away. Chazar v'shalach, b'sher otzel ashlim, yashlim. Like that pasuk in Perek Kaf. Yoshua ben Nun said, whoever wants to make peace, can make peace. Yashlim, yashlim. V'chazar v'shalach, b'sher otzel asot milchama, ya'aseh. So there were three letters. The first letter, Yoshua ben Nun said, whoever wants to run away should run away. The second letter said, whoever wants to make peace should make peace. And the third letter said, whoever wants to go to war with us will go to war with us. Okay? So now, Milchama Yaseh, in Cain, if they ma erimu Yoshua Gibon. So if that's the case, the Rambam says, why did the people who live in Gibeon, why did they lie? Because the people who lived in Gibeon shouldn't have lied. They should just come and say that they wanted to make peace. Lefi sheshalach lehem bechlal velo kiblu. In other words, he sent these letters to everybody in Eretz Israel, and the Gibeonites didn't answer. They didn't receive anything. Velo yadu Mishpat Yisrael, v'dimu sheshuv ein potchim lahem l'shalom. So what happened? First he sent the letter and said, you want to run away, run away. Then he sent the letters, you want to make peace, make peace. Then he sent the letters, you want to make war, make war. What about the Givonim? The Givonim said, we don't know. If we're going to lose, we'd rather make peace. But if we're going to win in the battle, we'll go to war. I mean, that was the Givonim. They didn't have very smart people in the Memshalah of Givon. So because of that, they didn't answer. They did not answer. He says, "Lefisha shalach lemechlav lo kibluv lo yedu mishpat Yisrael v'dimush shuv ein pochim lehem neshalah." They didn't understand the rules of the Jewish jurisprudence, and they thought that if you didn't answer immediately when the letter was sent, so you're out of the running. You can't say peace after you didn't answer. It didn't answer peace. So he says, "V'lama kasher hadavar v'nesi'im ra'u Yisrael atotam v'fi cherev lulei hashigula." And therefore the Gibeonites came later and they lied. They said, we got lost, it was hard to get here, they made themselves, they covered themselves with dirt and dust as though they'd come from a terribly long journey. And they said, forgive us for not answering right away. We wanted to, but we couldn't. We couldn't answer right away. And then Yoshua was fooled, and he said that he would protect them. He made an oath that he would take care of them and protect them. And because of the oath that he made, because of the oath that he made, Vnesha Kartula and Brit, they agreed. But what happened to the Gibeonites was that they turned into slaves. They became a slave caste. So the Rabbah says, since the Gibeonites lied, and they said that it took them a long time to get here, when that wasn't the truth, they were right there. Very easy for them to come and very easy for them to answer. Yoshua bin Nun, nevertheless, even though he had every right to punish them, he didn't want to punish them because it would have led to Chilul Hashem. People would say that they were killed for no reason at all, and here they listened to Yoshua bin Nun and they did not. They listened to Yoshua bin Nun, but they didn't get the support that Yoshua bin Nun promised, that there would be peace. So, you see that there's a kind of a different take on things. According to Rashi, the implication in Rashi is that the people in Eretz Yisrael, the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael, they simply were not, they had no, there was no way to save them. They had to be killed, all of them. And it says, "Lo tichayek kol neshama." That's what the pasuk says. Rashi and the Rambam seems to be going along in a different path, and he says, "Well, it depends. It depends on if you accept peace. You accept peace. If you leave, you leave." And this explains where Rashi thought, why Rashi thought that there would be Canaanites outside it, Canaan, outside it, in the other places. That's what. So we see there's a kind of a different point of view, and the Rambam's point of view, of course, comes from sources, but those sources are explained in the Ramban, and that's what we want to look at. And there's an important contribution, important chidush in the Ramban. This Ramban is in Perek Kaf. Right, Pasuk Yud. Kita Krabal Ir, you see the Ramban? On the first side, on the first side of the page. Kita Krabal Ir li lachem aleha. V'molchemet ha-reshuta katu v'davek, kamosh b'furash b'inim, kein ta'aseh l'kol ha-arim v'rokot b'imcha ma'od l'shon Rashi. First he quotes Rashi. Rashi says v'molchemet reshut. V'molchemet reshut means it's not on the land of Israel. It's not about the land of Israel. So when you go to fight battles in Eretz Israel, you don't have the obligation to call out in peace, to offer peace to the nations. The Ramban says, "Katava Rav Zebi Sifri, Shishanu Sham." He says the source for this idea is the Sifri, Shishanu Sham Kelashon Hazeh. The Mechemet Harishut that Kedu Medaber. It says it's true that those words appear in the Sifri, but the Ramban says. Akavana leRabotenu beKatuv Hazeh Eina Elo Lamar SheHaParasha beSofa Techalek Bein Shtei HaMilchamot Aval Kriyat HaShalom Afilu Milchamet Mitzvah. In other words, he reads it differently. He says that this pasuk can travel ili lachem aleha. When you come to a city and you want to fight against the city, beKriyat HaAleh LeShalom. That means any city, at any time, even the cities in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore this pasuk doesn't really differentiate between the Melchemet Rishut and Melchemet Chovah. So we have a machloket between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says that the wars of the Jewish wars in Eretz Yisrael are without compassion. Right, you don't have to. There's no shalom. There's no vikarata alei l'shalom. It's just all those people who are idolaters in Eretz Yisrael have to be destroyed. And then the Ramban goes on and says, in the fourth line, I'm sorry, shechayavim lekol l'shalom afilu shivat amim. Line five, sharei Moshe kara l'shalom v'sichon melech ha'amori. He says, I've got to be right. He says, the Ramban. I mean, today nobody argues with Rashi. But the Ramban lived in a time when you still could argue with Rashi. And so what is his argument? He says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he fought against Sichon, Melech HaEmori, right, when he fought against Sichon, Melech HaEmori, he said, do you want to make peace with us? And according to Rashi, by saying he wanted, that was Eretz Yisrael, right? The land of Sichon and Otas, where Reuben got the Chatzishev Menosh, even though you could say something about it. But let's be sort of like straight. Well, what does the Ramban mean? He means that's also Eretz Yisrael. Where Reuven got Chatzi Shevet Menashe war, that's Eretz Yisrael. Sharei Moshe Karad Shalom Sichon Melech Amori. Velo haya over l'asei v'alot asei shebeparasha. Ki acherein tachimein. That's what it says in the pasuk. You should make them chayim. Put them out of the world. Velo techayekol neshama. Avol hefreshe beinehem kasher lo. Kasher lo tashlim v'asta milchama sheziva katuv v'chokot la'akod et kol zechura l'achayot lehem anashim v'atap nizkarim uvarei ha'amim ha'ele ziva l'achim gam nashim v'atap. So there's a different kind of distinction. A different kind of distinction is not so important for us. Let's go on. The Ramban says in line 9, וכך אמרו רבותינו במדרש אלה דברים, והוא עוד בתנחומה ובגמרא ירושלמי, אומר רבי שמואל ורבי נחמני, יהושע בן נון קיים הפרשה הזו. מה עשה יהושע? היה שולח מכתבים, he would send letters, בכל מקום שהיה הולך לכבוש, והיה כותב בה, מי שמבקש להשלים יבוא וישלים, מי שמבקש ללך לא ילך לו, ומי שמבקש לעשות מלחמה יעשה מלחמה. זאת אומרת exactly what the Rambam said, right? That's what the Rambam says, which is not what Rashi, somehow Rashi overlooked all of this. ומי שמבקש לעשות מלחמה יעשה מלחמה. הגרגשי פנה. But Girgashi, one of the seven nations, is called Girgashi. Upana, Agivonim Sheshlimu Asalem Yoshua Shalom. 31 melachim shebau lilachem hepilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chule. That's in the Psukim in Yoshua. V'kachama katuv b'kulam. You see, Yoshua Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Tet. Lo hayta ir asher shlima el b'nei Yisrael b'lti achivi yoshev gibon et hakol lakhu b'milchama. All the cities of Eretz Yisrael fought against Yoshua. Ki ve'et Hashem ayta lechazek et libam lekrat ha'milchama et Yisrael leman hachrimeim. Neklal she'im ratzu lahashlim ayum hashlimim imahem. Okay, so we understand that there's a machloket between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says that in Eretz Yisrael there's no, you can't give any leniency. Everybody has to be killed. Everybody has to be driven out of Eretz Yisrael. According to the Ramban, the Karat Halel Shalom includes the cities in Eretz Yisrael. This is machloket. Now I want to ask you, Yoshua ben Nun. Remember Yoshua ben Nun? When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he sent spies. He sent miraglim into Eretz Yisrael. Now the question that I always asked was, why did he do that? Why did he send miraglim? If you say that he sent miraglim in order to find out the military weaknesses of the enemy, I mean, that sounds reasonable, but after all, Yoshua ben Nun had a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would win, be victorious in all his battles. And when he came to Yericho, they ran around Yericho and they blew the shofar and the walls came tumbling down. Remember? Right, the walls came. So if the walls are going to come tumbling down when you blow a shofar, why would you send spies? I mean, what could they spy out if you're coming armed with a shofar and the shofar is going to make the wall collapse? So what are the spies supposed to be doing? That's one question. The second question about the story is, isn't it true that Yoshua ben Nun, he was a spy, and he knew how bad the spies were for Bnei Israel? I mean, weren't they? I mean, what happened with the spies? They came back to the people, and the people said, "We don't want to go." So why would Yoshua ben Nun send spies? Second question. Right, the third question was, what did these spies exactly do when they came to Yericho? They went to the house of Rahab HaZonah. Now, I can't imagine that anybody could prove to me that Rahab HaZonah was a kind of a military objective. Like she was a general of the Eretz Yisrael army. Who was Rahab HaZonah? And then when they come back to, but what did Rahab HaZonah do? She helped them to escape, but helped escape them to run away, and they ran away, and they escaped, and everything was fine. But what has that got to do with being a spy? What does the story of Rahab HaZonah have to do with being a spy? So I tell you, in Yoshua, there is Rahab HaZonah, a parting speech from the spies. Right, you know they're on their roof and the police are coming, and Rahab HaZonah is going to get them down. They'll climb down to the other side of the roof and run away, and they're going to be saved. As this is going on, Rahab HaZonah decides to make a little speech and talk to the spies, and this is what she says. This is in Yoshua Perek Bet, She says the following to the anashim, the spies. Yadati, I know, kiratan Hashem lachem et haaretz, that God has given this land to you, and that we are in mortal fear of you. Everybody is melted. Right? Melting is a kind of old synonym for fear. Everybody's melted before you. We all heard about what happened at Yam Suf, that the water split and you came through. What you did to Sichon and to Og, Asher be'eva yardei v'sichon ol'og, Asher charamtem otam. This is what she says. V'nishma v'yimas levaveinu, lo kama od ruach be'ish mipneichem, ki Hashem elokechem hu elokim shamayim v'mal, v'al aras v'tachat. Says, your God is the only true God, your God is the God of heaven, and your God is the God of earth. Right, she's a paid political announcement. Rachav Hazonah. That's what she says. And when they come back to Yoshua bin Nun, these two spies, the pasuk says, "V'yashuvu shnei anashim v'yedu mehahar v'yavu v'yavol Yoshua bin Nun v'yisafru lo et kol ha-motzaot otam." They told Yoshua bin Nun the story. They told him what story did they tell them? By Yomrul Yoshua, he natan Hashem biyadeinu et kol haaretz, that God has given this land to us. God namogu kol yoshvei haaretz mipaneinu. They're all afraid of us. What do you mean they're all afraid of us? Why are they all afraid? Why is it that in Eretz Yisrael they have the cities and walled cities, as the original Meraglim said? Why are they afraid? They're afraid because they know that this is God's will, that God wants them to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And knowing that God wants them to conquer Eretz Yisrael, they're consumed by fear. They don't think that they could ever overcome. So if I ask the question again, I say, why did Yoshua bin Nun send Meraglim? Well, he wanted to know what the people in Eretz Yisrael thought about him, Am Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, the conquest of Yisrael. And so he sent the Meraglim. Where did he tell the Meraglim to go? To go to simple people. To go to regular people, to go to people who know about what's going on, the grassroots. So they went to Rachav HaZonah. There's a regular person, right? A person who has no heirs. And what did she say, Rachav HaZonah? We all know who you are. We know who you are, that you were sent by God, that God is going to conquer the land and take it away from us and give it to you. We all know that. And we heard about Yitzhak the tribe, we heard about Yam Suf, we heard about all of these things, and we know about all of these things. So I say again, why did Yoshua ben Nun send the Meraglim? Well, he wanted to find out what they thought of Eretz Yisrael, because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yoshua ben Nun that he would be victorious, Yoshua ben Nun didn't know if he had the right to conquer Eretz Yisrael, because in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right, we all know that the punishment for the Egyptians was extremely severe. And the question that is asked by the Nefoshim is, why were they punished so severely? Aren't they doing what God told Abraham and Peter they're going to do? Okay, so they took the Jews and they made them work hard. And they made them build cities. But isn't it true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Avinu that they would be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years? So what do we want for these poor Egyptians who did it on their own? that the answer that the Rishonim all give is yes, but they did it more. They did more than they should have done, and therefore they were punished. And so what does Yehoshua ben Nun want to find out? He wants to find out if the people in Eretz Canaan, if the people in Eretz Canaan understand what is happening to them. Because if they don't understand what is happening to them, how could they be blamed for defending their own homes, for defending their own place, for being partial to the world that they live in? So he wanted to find out that when the spies came back and they said to Yehoshua, Buddha, yeah, you know that we know who you are. We know about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We know about Yam Suf. We know about all of those things. And therefore, Yehoshua ben Nun could send the letters. And the letters that said, if you want to run away, you can run away. If you want to make peace, you can make peace. If you want to go to war, well, go to war. Because Yehoshua ben Nun knew that they knew. That they knew who Bnei Yisrael were. They weren't just Mongolian hordes coming upon Eretz Yisrael, but they were the people who God had chosen to inherit the land, and everybody in Eretz Yisrael also knew that. So the machloket between Rashi and the Ramban, or Rashi on the one side of the Ramban, is that the Ramban and the Rambam talk about the perspective of Yehoshua ben Nun. Can we kill them? In other words, it's true that God gave the permission, but they wanted to know if they were understood what the issue was. Because if they just saw that people are coming from the wilderness to conquer the land of Israel, so that, okay, I mean, what would be, why would it be so important that they defended themselves? Of course they're going to defend themselves. Of course they're going to go to war. But why? What did they do wrong? What did they do wrong, the Canaanites, at this time? So Yehoshua ben Nun said, I want to find out who they are. I want to find out what they are thinking. What is happening? Because if they think that we are the Mongolian hordes who came to destroy ancient Rome, then I have a problem. I'm not sure that we can carry out the directive, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we would win in the battle. Having found out from the Meraglim that they knew who we were, and they knew why they were there, and they understood that Yehoshua would say, well, in that case, anybody who wants to go to war with us will have to suffer the consequences. And that's what the book of Yehoshua says. All the cities in Canaan were destroyed by the Jewish army, because they knew very well what it meant to be overwhelmed by those who carried the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you see, I think that morals, a moral war, acting morally in war, is not always an easy thing. It's not always easy to know. I'm not going to speak to you so much about the technicality of it, but it's not always easy to know what you should do. Should you go to the left, should you go to the right? Should you do this? Should you do that? And you see that this is rooted in directives that the Torah itself gave us. And the Torah said, you might think that war is a time of hefkerut, a time when people do whatever they want and act in the most unlikely and despicable ways. But at the beginning of the parasha of Ki Tetzeh, we're talking about an unnamed Eshet Yefet HaTor. She doesn't have a family. She doesn't have a name. She doesn't have anything protecting her. And the Torah says, even though we're at war with her family, with her brothers, with her the weapons that they have, we have to protect this Eshet Yefet HaTor. It's also true that peace is an option. That's what the Torah says, that war is the last resort. It's only after peace has been rejected. I mean, peace rejected by people who understand what they are rejecting. But sometimes I think we find ourselves here in the Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, that we find ourselves always facing this dilemma of where are we going, what's going to be. I saw in an article someplace or other, somebody said about the situation here in Eretz Yisrael. He said, I have two great fears. One is that there will be a Palestinian state, and the other is that there won't be a Palestinian state. Those are his two great fears, and I think that we can understand that anybody who tries to simplify the issues involved is probably leading us astray. These issues are not simple, not obvious, and the Torah has kind of directed us in this manner. Okay, have a good Shabbat.